Quo. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Marty. I'm very well. I'm sitting here in the stands at PNC Park with the beautiful skyline they have here and watching the groundskeepers. How they do it here, too, Marty. They fix the field before we play. So they're working on the field trying to get it ready for today's game.
Now, do you come in with the strawberries and the rutabagas and the hot dog buns there?
You know, they got a secret entrance for us here. You know, you got to stay away from everybody and everything. So I didn't see any hot dog buns or rutabaga anywhere. And, you know, it's COVID restrictions are still in full force everywhere. So still a little bit different, but getting back to normal.
Yeah, you've hit the 85% mark, and I look in the dugout, and I didn't realize Gabe Kapler had a beard, but he does. But you guys, I guess, don't need the mask in the dugout, right?
Yeah, that's what they're saying. There's no mask in the dugout, but you have to wear it in the clubhouse, and you have to wear it in the hallways. So you're putting it on, you're taking it off. You're putting it on, you're taking it off. It's a little over the top, but it's nice that we don't have to wear them on the field, and I think everybody's pleased about that, and we're pleased about getting to that 85% level.
Well, whoa, it is Sunday morning. You're hitting the quarter mark today. Today's game 40. You're in first place, half a game over San Diego, a game over the Dodgers, and both those teams are starting to win now. Seager broke his hand. He, as Bill said, he's out for the Dodgers for a while. You take some tough losses out of the bullpen, but you're still in first place at the quarter mark. So how do you see the beginning of this season right now?
Well, I'm pleased with it. Look, to be in first place, you know, and the Dodgers, you know, having the problems that they're having. We played San Diego very good. You know, those are all good signs for us. We're winning games. It's tough, you know, the two games here, and I know Pittsburgh doesn't have, you know, the record, and they're not a club that you expect to lose to, but, you know, it's big league baseball. Anybody could beat anybody if you don't execute and perform. And they got the better of us last two games. Always a tough pill to swallow when you lose a game late, but pleased with, you know, where we're at. As you always say, Marty, there's a long, long way to go. And if you don't shore up your weaknesses, they're going to get exposed. And the other side of it is you're going to have ruts offensively. You're going to have ruts pitching. You know, it's an ebb and flow, up and down. Nobody's perfect the whole way. But no long-term injuries. We're in first place. And so far, so good.
Yeah, as we say, it's the cattle drive. We haven't even had the stampede yet. The chuck wagon hasn't gone over the hill yet, right? We still got a long way to go. Boy, I'll tell you, the whole week of baseball, I thought of you just about every day. Something was going on in the field. And I think the one that got me last night was the play in the ninth inning where they cut down Frazier at the plate with the winning run. Well, you had to be very proud of Talkman digging the ball out in left field to Craw to the plate. And Casilli made some great tags yesterday. So let's talk about that first.
Yeah, no, it's a play that is exciting for me in baseball. You know, a relay and throwing somebody out at the plate. We had two plays yesterday with Darren Ruff with the sacrifice fly with the lead. That was a huge double play, throwing the guy out from right field, and a bang bang, a nice tag by Casilli. And then, of course, you know, the winning run coming in, and once Talkman got the ball in Craw's hand, I said, he's out, because Craw's one of the best in the game at making that play, and he had him dead to rights. He threw a laser, but two good throws. Talkman got to the ball quick. He didn't throw that real high throw. Craw was in perfect position. He got it to him in a line. And that relay is executed the way you want to draw it up and the way you want to teach your players to do it. And, of course, it was in a big moment of the game. So it was a big, big play for us.
Well, you know, Mike Quadi, who I learned so much about coaching third base from, always called the left field corner the devil's corner because you can't really see exactly what's going on in the corner as a third base coach. That's what he always told me. Is that true?
Well, a lot of parks, it is true. Boston is the most notorious one. You can't see it all. You have to actually run out in the baseline if you want to see what's going on with the ball in the corner. And that's a real, real bad feeling to have when you can't see the ball. You know, you don't know if he's picking it up, if he's bobbled it, if the throw's coming in. You really need to see it. Now, you know, some other parks, actually in Seattle, there's a spot in right field I think we spoke about. In the right field corner, there's a little nook there where you can't see the ball there, and the ball will come flying out, like looks like it's coming out of the stands. So it's not a comfortable feeling, and you have to sometimes run to the baseline, or third baseline, just to see down that left field line. But most of the parks, you have full visibility, but there are some parks that you do not.
What do you think about sending the runner there just as a third base coach? You know, we still had they still had an out to play with. And, you know, it is a Pirate team that doesn't score a lot of runs. What do you think of sending him there?
Yeah, it's a tough decision. You know, we always say with one out, it's the toughest decision. If you got a chance to score him, you want to score him. You know, with two outs, you take the chance. With one out, like you said, you can still drive that guy in without a hit. You know, and I've seen Joey over the years. He's very aggressive, just like he was on, you know, on Darren Ruff. And, you know, the thing about it is Ruff, you know, if you look at a scouting report, you're probably going to say run on him. He's not a, you know, hasn't been an outfielder that long in his career. And he doesn't have a great arm, but this guy has gotten better and he made a great play. I probably would have been a little more cautious. Once Talkman threw that ball in on a line to Craw, you got to go on reputation. And Craw's one of the best in the game, and I probably would have put the brakes on him at that point. But Joey tried to push the envelope, and we made the play. So, you know, we come out smelling like a rose, and he's probably hanging his head. But they ended up winning the game, so I'm sure he's not too disappointed at this point.
No, exciting baseball, exciting baseball. Let's talk about Ruff for a minute here. You did bring him up. Well, you grew up in Connecticut. Did you ever see High Line? Have we talked about this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no. We mentioned it before. Hartford had High Line.
Right.
And I've been a couple of times. What a unique sport that was.
Well, I want to tell you, the ball's hit off the right field wall. And it came right to Ruff. And Ruff, it was like High Line. We call it a rebote.
Yeah.
And he got it off the wall, and it's like he had the cesta, and he just turned around and whipped it to second base. I thought that was a heck of a play, a heck of a play, and a great tag by Longoria. It was a replay play, but a heck of a tag.
Yeah, good play all the way around. A great knowledge, Marty, with the, I don't even know what those words were that you just mentioned in the highlight. I don't know
if Bill
knows what they are either. I watched it a couple times, but I don't know what the heck that is. But no, you're right. The ball coming off that big wall and guys playing it perfectly. So yeah, I was real pleased. You know, they made a lot of outs on the bases yesterday. That's a game that we really should have won. You know, they made probably too many outs on the bases to win the game, in my opinion. But that's the game, and you know, and that's the way it played out.
Seen a lot of running on the bases this week. Polanco almost got the third. The third was uncovered. And you and I have talked about this, and I'm telling you, well, this is something with all the shifts. I'm surprised more people don't take advantage of it. But Polanco almost took third base, and he's kind of, I think the pitcher then sort of eased over there.
Yeah, you know, we talked about that one before. They're in a shift, and the third baseman wasn't really at shortstop. He was kind of in between third and second. A little squibber, and now you got Longo sprinting for the ball at shortstop. You got Craw on the other side sprinting the other direction, and it just squibbed between them, you know, by the second base bag, by the, you know, like the shortstop area on the second base side. And here's a runner that's running from first, and the ball is hit so slow that the runner was close to second. If he was more alert, he could have stayed on his feet and just touched the bag and kept going. And that's the one we talked about. The pitcher, you know, needs to get over to third. He needs to recognize that and get over to third. And if he doesn't, the catcher needs to be watching, and he needs to make his way to third base. And then the first baseman needs to cover home. Now, you don't like to do that on a play because the guy's at first, right? It ends up being a double, actually, but you want to stay at first so the guy can't just go as far as he wants to. But these are some of the broken plays that you get with the shift, and it makes position, you know, covering all the bases difficult at time when a ball's hit in a particular area. And you're right, Marty, that's a great example of the shift, putting us in uncomfortable positions and almost costing us an extra base.
Mm. How is it coming back to Pittsburgh for you? Of course, that was your team that signed you and took you away from Clemson University and made you a pro. What's it like coming back to Pittsburgh?
Yeah, Marty, it was a long, long time ago, that's for sure. But it's always great to come back, you know, especially the team that drafted you. And, you know, unfortunately, there's not a lot of people left here that I know. Bob Walk is one, the broadcaster with the Pirates. You know, Lanny Fritteri was here for years. He retired. You know, Steve Glass retired. But Bob Walk's still here, but I can't get a hold of the guy. You know, the press box here is in the upper deck, and you can't even see that far down on the field, so I can't get his attention to say hello. But I always enjoy coming here. I have relatives as well, and I went and saw an aunt and uncle yesterday about 45 minutes away in Jeanette. My cousins come to the game. So, as you know, my dad grew up out here. He had 10 brothers and sisters, and there's a lot of Wotuses in the area. So it's always nice to come back to Pittsburgh. And not to go on and on, but my brother, he's retired now. So he drove out from Connecticut. He hadn't been here in years, and he wanted to see some family as well and taking the game. So he drove out from Connecticut. It's an 8-hour drive. So it was nice to have some family around.
Oh, very good. Very good. Why is it so tough to play this Pittsburgh team? They don't hit a lot of home runs. What is it about them?
Well, you know, I think, Marty, it's just what we said. It's just where we're at. You know, they don't have a high-powered offense. We got great pitching game, but, you know, our bats were a little silent. And then yesterday, you know, we swing the bat. We have the lead. We should win that game, and our bullpen lets you down. You know, we all know that happens in a course of 162. If I counted on my, you know, on my hand, I would need my hands and my toes just to count the number of games you feel like you should win, and they end up slipping away. But again, you know, that's the nature of the game, and the cream rises to the top as time goes on. Right now, Pittsburgh got the big hits. You know, they walked us off twice, and there's a couple of games that we felt we certainly should have won, weren't able to get it done.
Well, you got your guy going today, Alex Wood, maybe the best, really, who's throwing for you.
Yeah, no, he's been great. He's been great. So. And he's been going deeper into the games. I know when he was with L.A. there, they had 5 innings, he was out. He's pitching into the 7th one time. You know, gives you 6 strong innings. Our bullpen's fresh. You know, we had some guys banged up yesterday, too, that, you know, typically Gabe would fire into the game, whether it was Yaz and some guys in the pen that we didn't want to use. So, you know, that changes the complexion of the game and our moves throughout the game as well. And that's why it's very important to you know, keep the guys healthy and have your full complement of players, because you get in the situations throughout the season where a guy needs a day off or a pitcher's thrown 3 days in a row and you can't use them. So it really takes your 25-man or 26-man roster, I should say. I can't get used to that, for these guys to go ahead and, you know, step up and get the job done. So guys get in different roles, and it really takes your whole roster to have a good season.
No, it does. Bill, good morning with Woe. Now, Bob Walk is on with us this morning at about 7:15 our time, 10:15 your time. I guess we can tell him, Bill Wright, to wave to Woe at the field?
Yeah, we could, but I don't think he wants to. I think Bob's blowing him off. You know, I think Ron's trying to get a hold of him, and I think he's just saying, no, I don't want to pick up the phone. So I just think I'll have to mend it a little bit there, Ron, and maybe find out why he's not returning your calls. But good morning, Ron Wotus. How are you today, buddy?
Oh, it's a pleasure to talk to you this morning, Sinker Slider Bone Chip. How you doing?
I'm doing good. You got my fired post game going yesterday with that bullpen miscue, but a lot of good calls, a lot of people frying everybody. Of course, you know, Giant fans want you to win every game, and I was right with them. I thought the 7th inning was a blow up, and it wasn't about hits; it was about walks and hits batsmen. And as a reliever, you know, Ron, you got to come in and throw strikes.
Yeah, no question. You know, and Duvall's done a great job. You know, you got to remember where this guy was previously. He was an A-ball, and now he's pitching in big moments in the major leagues. And you know, Bill, you got to command the baseball. It's like it's like a good situation in real estate. I mean, you can throw 100, But if you don't have that location, 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 mm-hmm. you know, you're not going to resell that house, or you're not going to be as consistent. And that's something, you know, every pitcher is always striving to get. You know better than anybody. Some days you have it, some days you don't. So, you know, he's got some growing to do, but he's been a big part of what we've done up so far this season. And as you know, those things are going to happen to you once in a while.
Boy, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is, you know, baseball has changed in scheduling, and I wanted to hear your thoughts on the four-game series that are difficult to do. Mm-hmm. You're in, especially on the road. You got four in Pittsburgh, then four in Cincinnati. Baseball's changed that up, and do you know why did they do that?
You know, I don't. You know, we've had more two-game series as well. I know once we started playing interleague, we've had more two-game series, and I was just talking to the clubhouse guy here, Kevin, in Pittsburgh. They're going during the season. They got a two-day road trip to St. Louis at some point. And it's just odd. It's just the schedule makers. I don't know if they tried to keep the travel different because of the COVID or what, but you're right. The schedules are different. I mean, this is my 24th season, and I can't ever remember playing four in Pittsburgh and then turning around playing four in Cincinnati, you know, four back-to-back. With two different teams. I mean, we should be able to handle it just fine. It really doesn't change what we do, right? It just doesn't matter if you're playing the same team or not, but it is different.
Well, a couple of things that came up this week. One was the five infielders. Now, we've talked about four outfielders, but not too much about five infielders. How did that come about?
Yeah, well, you know, Kai felt it was the right time to deploy it. You know, Raj, he's a sinker baller, and he gets a lot of ground balls. And, you know, it was the right situation for it. The situation called for it. So he brought Slater in. We all know he's played some infield in his career, and put him on the right side. And, you know, it was the right move. I mean, Perez kept hooking the ball foul on Raj. He ended up getting them out, which was great. And it was a good move in a game. You know, they're waiting for those situations to deploy those percentages, and they did a good job with it in that scenario, and it worked out.
You know, Ron, a couple things about the pitchers with bats in their hands. Johnny Cueto, nice two bunts laid down, nice sacrifice bunts. But why aren't the relief pitchers, when they're going up there, why aren't they letting them swing, at least put the ball in play? They're just standing up there like statues. Is this something that Gabe Kapler doesn't want any injuries occurring?
Yeah, it all has to do with injuries. You know, Littell got in a bat yesterday, and he doesn't hit, you know. So typically, Bill, you have your starters work on their hitting and a long guy. But we don't have a true long guy anymore, right? Everybody's used in different roles in different situations. And Littell got into a situation where he hasn't swung a bat all season long because he's more of a, you know, a reliever. We don't necessarily consider him a long guy. So he hasn't swung a bat all season. So, you know, we had the lead. We didn't want to take a chance of him, you know, pulling a rib cage muscle or doing something crazy. The percentages are he's going to get a hit or low. So it's more about health. I remember playing the A's for years and watching them do that when Interleague first came about, you know. It's stuff on the American League clubs, right? They play a month of the season, and then the interleague would come around in the summer, and they had their pitchers just take because they didn't want to hurt them. And then, you know, they're going to play an interleague series, and then they're not going to hit again for another month. So they say, the heck with it. We'll just take the out. So that's what it stems from. You're exactly right.
Well, it's not Ohtani, I'll tell you that. Ohtani, 10 strikeouts in his game, hit a home run, then they put him in right field. This is a pitcher that they're doing this to, and it's the first time that's happened in Major League Baseball, going back to the kitten, Harvey Haddix, in 1952. Well,
Harvey Haddix, the old Pirate pitching coach. Well, that's good. Well, he's quite a talent, you know. And there was a lot of talk a couple of years ago. I know people in our coaching staff. There's a lot of talk about two-way players and, you know, people looking to draft players that can pitch and hit. You know, I've never really understood it myself. I just feel it's so difficult to either be a good pitcher or a good position player. But to try to do both, you know, I just don't know where the big advantage is. Obviously, it's an advantage if you can have that guy and you got a freak like Ohtani. But that is just not easy to do. Tom, could you imagine Bill Lasky at shortstop?
And hey, hey.
Did you ever play another position, Bill?
I did. I played outfield, of course. And, of course, as tall as I was, every coach wanted me to play first base. It was fine. I didn't play short or second like Ron Wotus, but I played a little first. And I played left field. I enjoyed left field in high school and junior college. That's where I played when I didn't pitch. I was a decent hitting pitcher. I'm not in the big leagues, but as you go in college ball in high school, of course I was that guy that could hit.
You ever play the outfield as a pro?
Me? Never. Only in batting practice. That's all right. Right. I did all my work. We always played the games, fly ball, counted to points, and ground balls. And you had pitchers playing games all the time. Crook and Atlee and myself, Renie Martin, we always out in the outfield goofing around, trying not to get hurt. That was the key.
Hey, well, do people still play pepper at all? Because that's a good way to warm up before a game. One guy has the bat, and three guys are out there, and they toss the ball to the hitter, and he hits ground ball sort of to the fielders. Do people do that anymore?
You know, Marty, it's long gone. I mean, I still think it's a great drill, to play pepper. But, now they don't want you hurting the grass, the groundskeepers on the signs. They get the signs, no pepper, et cetera. It's just gone by the wayside. And, it's been used a few times, but the players don't do it on their own. And I'll take it a step further. I bet you if you had our whole team play pepper, the position players, they'd probably only be half the guys that can actually have the bat control. Wow. to tap the ball and play the game. They're so different. The way they've learned to hit today is, the big swings, and you don't have those guys that have just that natural touch to maneuver the bat as much like you did years ago, because that's the way you hit, right? You used the whole field. Now, using the whole field, who worries about that? They just want to hit the ball out of the ballpark.
Hey, Ron, do you remember the game Flip? When you used to go in a circle and just flip all the time, that was a fun game. That was it was really good for technique, and it was really quickness. And that's another game that kind of just went by the wayside too.
Yeah, right. So we play a combination of that, right? You'd play the flip and the pepper would be together. You play pepper and you flip it to the guy. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, good hand-eye coordination. I love playing pepper. I thought it was a terrific way to get warmed up you're right, and bat control. Well, this weekend is anniversary of a debut of a pitcher, and Bill, you could mention it as well. He was from your area, Bill. Mark the Bird Fidrich. And I love stories about him. I love watching him pitch. If you look him up in the mid-70s on YouTube, you'll see just a real character. But Mark the Bird Fidrich, remember him well first?
Absolutely. As a young man watching the Red Sox growing up, he'd always put the Red Sox games on. That was my dad's favorite team, watching him pitch. You didn't forget him. Isn't that something? He was different than everybody else. He had all the antics, and you gravitate to those guys. And, I never saw him pitch in person or anything like that. But those characters in the game, it's like Spaceman Lee, right, that pitched for the Red Sox. He was another one. You don't forget these guys. And I remember watching him pitch, and it was very entertaining.
Yeah, quick story about the Bird. When I went over to pitch with the Tigers, he was out of the game. He came down as a special, a scout or a pitcher just to talk to pitchers. And I got to know him for that spring training. And as a non-roster player, they never put your last name on your jerseys. They put Tigers. So I was warming up, and here comes Bird coming down to the bullpen. And in Lakeland, you had bleachers right by the bullpen. And sure enough, he starts getting people to chant, "Tony, Tony, Tony." And I turn around, and I go, "What are you doing?" He goes, "You're Tony the Tiger. You're the original Tony the Tiger." And it just made me laugh, but it made me relax, because I was a non-roster pitcher, and everything you did was magnified. But he was a character. It didn't matter where or what. And I got to talk talked to him, and his wife ended up texting me when he passed away. It was really a sad point. He was working on a truck, and nobody was around, and the strings on his jacket got caught in a wheel, and it strangled him. Really a tough death in baseball.
He talked to the baseball. It was a great marketing
person.
Hey, well, one other thing, Talkman. You know, on the bases, he moves around, and he made the great play in the corner last night, but he almost got picked off at third, and they threw the ball to left field. It looked like a little league game, and then he scored. Where was he going?
Yeah, well, where was he going? Well, he has a little speed, as you know, and it was a first and third situation. And if you watch around the league, you know, when you get first and third, and whether there's one out, but mostly with two outs, a lot of teams will try to steal second base because not many teams are going to throw the ball down to second if you have speed at third, and especially if a left-hander's up, because a third baseman's playing way off the line. So you can get that double steal. The guy at first goes, and if he's going to be out, he stops. The guy at third, if they throw through, he can walk home if the third baseman's way off the line. So it's a play that everybody protects against, and I got to hand it to the Pirates. They had Gonzalez way off the line, and then here he comes flying out of nowhere to pick off Talkman. And I was screaming back, but boy, he took one more step and landed, and he's coming back, and I'm saying, oh, you know what? Thank goodness he made a bad throw, and we come out smelling like a rose. They had a shot at him. I looked at the replay. He would have been safe, but too close for comfort to get picked off at third base right there.
Boy, what a week. What a week of baseball. What a 40 games of baseball coming out of spring training. That's why we love the game. You never know where it's going to go. Well, let's talk about River Islands for a minute before we let you go. It is Sunday. It's a gorgeous day, and I know people make appointments to see some of the houses out of River Islands, but what a beautiful day to enjoy the lakes and just be out of River Islands on a Sunday. I just love the picture.
Yeah, I know you're exactly right. You know, at the Boathouse restaurant there, out on the water, you come in, you know, go to the happy hour. You know, you got your friends and family all in that area. There's so much to do. People that haven't been there really need to take a ride out and look at it, because it's all right there. You don't have to get in your car and go anywhere. You can enjoy lots of things right there at your home. So I hope the listeners get a chance to go out and take a peek at River Islands.
Yeah, riverislands.com, and new neighborhoods are going up, new schools and everything else, and it's a beautiful time of year to enjoy it. Well, we'll have fun in Cincinnati. Cincinnati's always interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's a small ballpark. You know, they swing the bat. There's a lot of runs scored there, so you could see more of the same, you know, higher run games and leads exchanging back and forth. And hopefully our guys will be the ones scoring all the runs and putting that ball over the wall in right field. And I don't know, guys, if you've heard my walk-up song here behind us. It came on about 10 minutes ago. I'm trying to get away from this music playing. I don't know. Did you hear it, Bill?
Let me hear it. What is it?
Oh, it's some rap tune. I'm not sure what it is, but
hey, make sure you have a nice big bowl of that Skyline Chili when you get in Cincinnati. All right, Ron?
There you go. Yeah, that's always the highlight, the Skyline Chili.
All right. Well, have a great day today, and we'll talk to you next week. Dodgers next weekend at home, so look forward to it. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Ron.
All right, guys. Great being with you as always, Marty, and keep up the good work, guys.
All right. All right. That is our third base coach, the professor, Ron Wotus. Bill and I will be back right after this.